Good morning. It is 9:45, and we are going to get started with this introductory workmanlike rules committee meeting. We'll do introductions around the room. I don't think we have a quorum yet, so we can start with intros. And as we look towards, I think, another member, we can start taking up formal business as that happens. So my name is Ryan Winkler. I'm the chair of the Rules Committee, the majority leader. I will be chairing this committee for the next 2 years, if all goes well, and have served a total of starting my ninth year in the Minnesota House of Representatives, although not in consecutive order. And my district is Golden Valley, St. Louis Park, Plymouth, and Medicine Lake. So why don't we just go this way, starting with the vice chair. Well, actually, Binta, why don't you start, and we'll have staff introduce themselves as well.
My name is Binta Conte, and I am the committee legislative assistant for Rules and Legislative Administration.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Herr, and I am the vice chair of the Rules Committee. This is my first term as a legislator, and I represent 64A, which is the area that runs along Summit and Grand Avenue and takes up part of St. Anthony Park and Merriam Park, along with Crocus Hill and Summit Hill.
Representative Jamie Becker Finn, I represent District 42B, which is Little Canada, Badness Heights, Gem Lake, and parts of Roseville and Shoreview. This is my second term, and I welcome our freshman members. It looks like we have the honor of joining them in their very first committee hearing, so glad to be here.
Good morning. My name is Hoden Hassan, representing Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, and first time, I'm a freshman. So thank you for being here.
Representative Jean Pawlowski, I chaired the Government Operations Committee the first year that Representative Winkler was in the Minnesota House. His one distinctive achievement was knowing the difference between Cato the Younger and Cato the Elder, which I took as a fairly decent achievement.
Good morning. I'm Representative Leon Lilly and represent three East Metro communities, North St. Paul, Maplewood, and Oakdale, and been a couple of years since I've been on rules. I'm excited to be back on, so thank you.
Mike Freiberg, represent District 45B, all are parts of Crystal, Golden Valley, New Hope, and Robbinsdale.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Representative Tony Albright, I represent Prairie Lake, Jordan, and several townships in Scott County, and serving beginning in my fourth term in the legislature, so thank you.
Good morning. I'm Representative Ann New. I represent most of Chisago County, which includes probably most notably Taylor's Falls and Lindstrom.
Pat McCormick. I'm a House Research staffer for this committee.
Will Bauvelt. I'm the committee administrator.
Mr. McCormick, how long have you been the staff administrator for this committee?
Mr. Chair, I've been staffing this since 2005.
Representative Howard, we're doing introductions, so you have to break in as you come in the room.
Representative Michael Howard, District 50A, Richfield and Bloomington.
Okay, the first items relate to HR, and so Kelly Knight will come forward to consider policies 2019 P1, 2019 P2, 2019 P3, and if you want, maybe I don't think, why don't you start with the first two, one and two, and present them together, and then we can probably quickly adopt those, and then in case there's more discussion on the third.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, you want me to start with P1?
Yes, and introduce yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Kelly Knight. I'm the Director of Human Resources for the House of Representatives. The first policy that you have before us is the policy on our service award program. This allows us to recognize individuals in their service to the House at 2 years and then 5 years and every additional 5 years of service afterwards. There have been no changes to the previous policies.
And with that, members, are there questions? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for adoption of the policy, P1.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. The motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Or the policy is adopted. The P2.
Mr. Chair and members, the P2 policy is a policy on donated vacation time. This parallels a policy also found in the executive branch. It allows House staff to donate up to 40 hours of vacation or compensatory time to staff who have used both their vacation and sick and have been out 6 weeks or longer due to a serious illness. And there's no changes to this policy.
Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for adoption of the P2 policy.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the policy is adopted. And to the P3, Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, the P3 policy is a policy on compensation time and time card policy. And this policy addresses not only work hours, but the accrual of compensatory time, submittal of time cards, and also summer hours. And there have been no changes to this policy since the previous version.
Member questions? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for adoption of the P3 policy.
So moved.
Representative Freiberg moves adoption. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the P3 policy is adopted. Ms. Knight, do you want to review the staff complement documents while you're up there, and then we will go from there to other items of business?
Mr. Chair and members, you have actually four documents before you. One is the employee listing, the other is appointments, one is change in status, and then another is termination. The roster is the current listing of all temporary and permanent staff that are currently on the House roster. The appointments, change in status, and termination represent all personnel actions that have occurred since the last time these reports were adopted, and that was late April of 2018.
And it's my understanding there's no action required on this. That piece of information is just for your information. Okay, thank you, Ms. Knight. The House Controller and the House Photographer, I think, should be next. Ms. Julek, this is to the P4 resolution on per diem and living expenses. If you could please introduce yourself for the record and present the P4 policy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barb Julek, and I am the House Controller. The P4 policy is a policy that authorizes interim per diem, either through work you're going to be doing on behalf of a committee as a committee chair or part of either majority leader or minority leader duty. So that allows you to collect per diems during the interim. In addition, this policy allows per diem for members to come in up to 15 days during the interim, and if you're an out-of-state member, up to 10 days of travel per diem and overnight. The only change on here is on line 27 after the word capital, just added up to 10 days, and that's just clarification language for a current operating policy of how this operates, and it lines up with the 10-day maximum overnight lodging.
Any questions or discussion? Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't raise my hand, but I don't.
Well, I didn't want to miss the opportunity to hear from you in case that's what you intended.
I actually do have a question. I've often wondered about the 50-mile thing. I live fairly close. I'm fairly lucky that way. But I remember Representative Bly, for example, had some health issues, and he was, I think, over the 50. And I know you can talk to the speaker, right, and make arrangements if you need housing to spend the night. But it just seemed like there's some people that are just, it seems awful far when we have a quick turnaround in the morning. But I know there's allowances with the hotels and that sort of thing, or couches in the office, but it just seemed like sometimes there's periodically members that have health concerns, like Representative Bly just comes to mind right away. Anyways, I just wanted to.
Ms. Julek?
Mr. Chair, Representative That we'll talk about in the R3 on lodging and overnight, and I think that would be the better policy area to review that. I do want to add there was one additional change to the P4 policy on the second page at the very end. Line 5, we just added to turn in the interim per diem forms within 90 days of the related activity. And again, that just follows our current procedures and clarifies timing of submission of claims.
Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Julek, that first change, is that consistent with the way we've operated as well?
Mr. Chair, members, since the change to 10 days was made for travel per diems, yes.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, I would entertain a motion on the adoption of the P4 policy.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Herr moves adoption. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The P4 policy is adopted. House photographer, or you want to stay or you want to present it?
Mr. Chair, I can phone a friend if needed.
Okay. Please go ahead, Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, the P5 policy is policy on photographs and digital images, and this policy allows members access to photographs taken by House Public Information. There are a number of technical changes, just clarifying current practices within this policy, and then there's an actual change, operating change, on page 2, line 3 and 4, actually line 4. In the past, we've charged $10 annually and $20 for the biennium. This policy is proposing to change that to $50 and $100. This hasn't been changed since 1995.
And Ms. Julek, I understand that there was some need for upgrading equipment that was part of this change as well.
Mr. Chair, members, this money offsets purchasing of photography supplies that we have in our budget, so it does offset costs within the photography area. Mr. LeGrave is here to answer specific questions.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Julek, going from $20 for the biennium to $100 seems a pretty stark increase. And I'm just wondering, even with the advent of 134 members, even if we all, that's a substantial increase. I'm just wondering if you can explain what amount of or what types of equipment were purchased that you feel so necessary to increase it from 20 to 100?
Ms. Julek and Mr.
Mr. Chair, I will defer.
Please identify for yourself for the record and proceed.
I'm Harold Grave, Director of the House Public Information Services Office. As Barb indicated, this hasn't been changed since 1995. Generally, the ongoing expenses are paper, toner, those kind of things. Since 1995, the volume of content produced by the photographer's four members has significantly increased with the move to digital camera work. We are looking forward to, after session, really upgrading the photography equipment, cameras, lenses, flashes, all that kind of product, which really hasn't been upgraded. In one of the policies adopting here is to talk about requests for reimbursement. Currently, the House reimburses each photographer $2,000 a year for the use of their personal equipment. So they bring lenses, flashes, filters of their own personal ownership to the House. The House reimburses. So the goal, part of the goal of this, besides upgrading the language and refreshing it, is to put in place a plan that we can upgrade after the session here and actually have the House own all of the equipment, the camera body, the lens, the filters, to own all of it. It's sort of a messy interaction to have the House reimbursing people for their personal use. Our writers aren't expected to bring up their own laptop from home to do their work. Our TV people aren't required to bring their own cameras to do the TV coverage. And similarly, we feel that our photographers shouldn't be required to bring their own personal equipment. And so the upgrade of the numbers is in part to plan for the upgrade happening after session.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With everything going to digital, and I understand that that may not offset the cost of printing and whatnot because we used to get pictures in our offices, that type of thing, but I'd like for you to explain a little bit more about why it is the responsibility, or you feel it's the responsibility for the house to own the lenses. What happens if a photographer says, well, that's not the type of lens that I like to use. I'd like to use my own. It seems like the issue of photography is a very personalized, very much, it's an art. So are you inhibiting in some way the way that photographers take pictures around here just by, in a sense, allowing an inventory of kind of set standard lenses? Or I'm trying to understand the rationale for owning the equipment rather than, in a sense, reimbursing them for it. When it changes all the time, why wouldn't you want the photographers to be on top of that as opposed to the house?
Mr. LaGrave.
Mr. Chair and members, indeed we face a situation where we have one of our photographers who uses Nikon equipment and the other one uses a Canon equipment. So if we're faced to have, we already have differing models, and I mean, I figure it's our role as a house and my role as the department director to establish a consistency of equipment. We use, you know, we don't have each of our TV people or our writers choose whether they're going to use, say, a Mac or a PC, or if they're going to use Canon cameras or other, you know, Sony cameras on TV side. So I think it's, you know, from a repair standpoint, it's better to have one product where it consistently works well with our system.
Just one more, Chair.
Representative Albright.
And just from the perspective of house photography and those that, you know, we see around there, the Capitol, are they in agreement with this policy change?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, yes. We've talked about this actually for the last couple of years, specifically the dollar increase because of the value that we think that it brings. And they agree that going to house-owned equipment instead of this split of personal and house-owned and settling on one brand of cameras is their agreement with that.
And members, just to, as a point of clarification, this is the cost that legislators pay to get access to this, which, as we all know, is heavily used during campaign time. So the $100 typically comes from legislators' campaigns. Not, this isn't a fee that we're charging the general public for access to images. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. LaGrave, what has not worked about the current policy? I mean, it seems to me to be much more efficient, $2,000 a year versus, what? I mean, you take 134 times 100, that's $13,400 per biennium, so you're talking about a five-time increase. It sounds, has it not worked using the using the employees' equipment and reimbursing them the $2,000. Has that not worked?
Mr. LaGrave. Oh, Ms. Julek, I guess, would like to jump in if that's okay, Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair, I think we're confusing policies. So the P5 request for the $50 and the $100, currently 10 and 20, is really a reimbursement to the house for a variety of photography supplies, printing, toner, things like that. We will look at the subsequent policy coming up later for the $2,000 reimbursement, which is reimbursing the photographer for their equipment. And I think they're two different things. So the $100 doesn't go to the photographer. It goes to the house to cover cost of supplies that the house is purchasing.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Julek, in the age of electrons running our cameras, are there more of those consumable expenses than there were when we used to actually have to go to the laboratory and have the film processed and have the prints made and the labor to go with it? Were there more of those types of expenses then, or are there more of those type of expenses now?
Mr. Chair, members, I'd have to go back and look over the last 23 years to see what we've been spending, but this has not increased since 1995.
Representative Drazkowski.
Well, Ms. Julek, that's not what I've asked. You know, government always likes to try to squeeze more out of people, regardless of where it is, so that they can grow their particular department. We know that. That happens. But the question is your department experiencing more of those types of expenses now, or were there more of those type of expenses earlier? So I'd be interested, Mr. Chair, in seeing that, because I don't really believe that there's more expenses to those types of areas today than there used to be.
Well, Mr. LaGrave, maybe you can fill us in.
Mr. Chair and Representative Drazkowski, one of our photographers has told me that over a long session like this year, he will shoot upwards of 100,000 images. Now, when we were back processing film and paper and dipping them, and we, of course, would never have done that. As a result, we're providing more options for members and staff as far as the images.
Representative Drazkowski.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. LeGrave, I don't want to get into the weeds here, but I guess we're there. I mean, you can store an unlimited amount of electrons on a zip drive. I don't see where the additional costs are. I don't believe there's additional costs, and you're not being persuasive. So if that's the basis for the increase, it doesn't seem to support it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion, members, on the P5 policy? Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify, members won't be required to pay this cost. It would be if they choose to have access to the photos, correct?
Mr. LeGrave?
Mr. Chair and members, that is correct.
Thank you.
Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was an ongoing discussion about the operating system the photographers were allowed to use. They had preferred the Mac system, and in the discussion I just heard, are they going to be now moved to our system permanently, or do they still have the option of using the Mac, which they felt was an easier and much better system for their processing?
Mr. LeGrave.
Mr. Chair and members, they've been on a PC-based system for almost as long as I've been involved with the department.
So when Ohmscheid left, that was the last of the Mac users?
Actually, when we left, they were
still on PC.
Representative Pulaski, if you could go through
Mr.
the chair.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I think that's a rule.
And I believe it is. And thank you for clarifying it. And I'll recall this incident later. So, Mr. Chair, so they're on our dark side system.
Mr. LeGrave.
You don't need to answer. But I just need to know that. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Please no.
Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on adoption of the P5 policy.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo moves adoption of the P5. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
The motion prevails. The P5 policy is adopted. Now we are moving on to the resolutions, the R1 through R9. And Ms. Julek, you will stay, I understand, and present those items. So Ms. Julek to the R1.
Mr. Chair, members, the R1 resolution is an annual resolution that's allow us to pay either $35 per day allowance for the chaplain of the house, or if there is a position, we could pay up to $2,000 for an honorarium.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for adoption of the R1.
So moved.
Representative Hassan moves adoption of the R1 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The R1 is adopted. To the R2, Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, members, this is another annual resolution that allows the House to pay the three leadership positions at 140% of member salary as authorized in statute.
Any discussion? Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I guess I, now that I'm reading it more carefully, I'm good. Never mind.
Very well. I will entertain a motion on adoption of the R2. If anybody, I really don't want to do it myself, and I'm
so
not going to vote.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Becker-Finn moves adoption of the R2. The chair will not vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and the R2 is adopted. To the R3.
All right, Mr. Chair and members, the R3 is a rather long resolution. It is an annual resolution that goes through the variety of reimbursements that members are eligible for. This includes housing allowance, overnight lodging allowance, per diems, and interim district travel during the interim. There's only one substantial change on here, so I'll go through what's not changing. So currently, where this resolution would authorize up to $1,800 per month for a member living over 50 miles from the Capitol for monthly lodging allowance, but a $32,400 legislative session cap, so it's about an 18-month cap over the next 2 years. That is not changing. Members would be allowed direct payment of their rent. Once this is adopted, we can implement that in February. That is not changing. On page 2, lines 5 through 10, this allows members to be reimbursed for overnight lodging at the Capitol area when there is an issue that a member would need to stay overnight. So this was the issue brought up earlier. The change here on line 8, it has been $125 per night. It's being proposed to be changed to $150. Continuing on, the other change on line 24, this is where employees may be traveling, either as part of a committee or as an approved conference. And what changed here on line 26 was $125 a night lodging would be recommended to go to $150, and if that lodging was part of a meeting or an on-site conference, this is being proposed to change from $150 to $175. On page 3, it talks about interim district travel. There is a change on line 8. Last session we adopted where the monthly maximum interim travel would have kind of like rollover miles month to month. This just says we're going to calculate your interim travel maximum by taking your monthly allowance times the number of interim months and just monitor that maximum over the interim. So it's more of a kind of a technical tracking change than anything. And then the last change being proposed on page 4, lines 11 through 12, again, it's just implementing a 90-day, requesting that within 90 days members submit their claims for whatever reimbursement they're seeking through this policy. Again, this has been our operating policy, and it's just putting it in the resolution.
And Ms. Jula, could you just expand a little bit more on the need for the 90 days?
Sure. Mr. Chair, federal IRS regulations require entities to have what's called an accountability plan, and part of an accountability plan is having a reasonable documented policy on when you turn in expenditures. Absent such a plan, those types of expenditures can become taxable income, and so this is just helping to ensure that we maintain our accountability plan.
Mr. Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, does the R3 also then include weather-related issues where we might be here late at night because of weather-related road conditions? I know in the past the Speaker of the Majority Leader has allowed for overnight stay reimbursement for safety reasons.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, yes. Representative, on page 2, lines 5 through 10, I think that is probably the main purpose. You'll see between lines 7 and 8, required to remain at the Capitol to conduct business for reasons of safety. So health, weather, I think would fall under safety.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Julek, do you have any documentation to show that this 20% increase in the lodging, where does it come from? What do you have to substantiate it?
Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, members, when we see reimbursement for lodging, we are often only paying up to the $125. There's a number of instances where we're not paying what's actually been the cost of that lodging. And so this has not changed. Well, the last time it was changed was 2015.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Julek, again, the fact that it hasn't changed isn't a reason. It's just a reality. The question I have is, have you looked at what the costs are out there? I mean, I understand some members want to lodge at a luxury suite. I know that Motel 6 doesn't cost $150. So I'm wondering, have you looked at what the cost of Motel 6 is, and have you looked at the cost of Embassy Suites? Have you looked at what's available within 20 miles of the Capitol, and what the average costs are? Have you done any of that type of analysis?
Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, no, I have not.
So, Mr. Chair, what we have here is there seems to be a few members that have submitted extraordinarily large amounts for lodging, and so the effort here is to increase the reimbursement to those lodging costs for all those people, because some people tend to be outliers and cost the taxpayers additional money. For that reason, Mr. Chair, I encourage everybody to vote no on the resolution.
Representative Drozdowski, just by way of a recent example, I stayed at the Holiday Inn in Owatonna a couple of weekends ago, and it was $150 a night. And obviously, metropolitan rates tend to be higher. I think we all know that housing, or that the costs of renting a hotel have gone up. And I'm not going to, you know, encourage you to vote one way or the other, but I do think it's fair on behalf of the House staff to point out that it is pretty normal for these costs to go up. Representative Drozdowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question for you, Mr. Chair. Did you check the rates at Motel 6?
Representative Drozdowski, I did not check the rates. And, in fact, people could sleep outside. That would also be cheaper. there is no question that you could always do it cheaper. I think the question is it reasonably comparable to other business or government travel? And I think the rates are reasonable. That's my opinion. The committee can do what it wants. But I just think it's fair to point that out on behalf of House staff. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the first time in my history of the legislature, I actually used this last year, and I think like 95% of members, we stay at the Kelly Inn when you just need a night. The change in, when you factor in the cost of staying at the hotel room, the change is needed, or else members end up having to pay for this out of their pocket. We had an unfortunate incident a couple years ago where a member, after a late night session, was involved in an auto accident going home. I have no problem paying, again, we just don't want to be we don't want to be incentivizing members to drive when they're tired, drive when the roads are poor. And again, for 90% of members, I think they're staying at the Kelly Inn. If you go to the website, you look up Best Western Kelly Inn, and you look at the room rate, and you factor in the outrageous sales tax that the residents of St. Paul pay, you'll find that this changes within guidance, and would ask people to vote for it.
Any further discussion on the R3 resolution?
Mr. Chair, I'll move R3.
Representative Lilly moves adoption of the R3. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
The motion prevails and the R3 is adopted. To the R4. And Representative Drozdowski, you might like this one better.
Mr. Chair and Representative, the R4 is another annual resolution on personalized stationery. The changes here on line 11, we reduce the number of allotment for letter size paper from 5,000 to 4,000, and then we eliminated the availability of certain note size letterhead and envelopes in order to save costs.
Ms. Julek, if you could just, well, Representative Drozdowski, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the R4.
Discussion to the Drozdowski motion. Representative New.
I actually appreciate a lot of this, as I certainly have found plenty of waste there. However, the one thing I am concerned about is reducing the actual letterhead from 5,000 to 4,000. I actually ran out of letterhead. I use it to communicate with my constituents pretty consistently, so I have concerns about that. And I guess I would love to see that amended.
Representative New, just, and we can have Mr. Meyerson come up and respond to your concern. I would point out that the bid that we got back on stationery this year was almost double what it was the previous biennium, and so we look for ways to cut costs and managed to find $30,000 in savings by changing some of these allocations. But if there's concerns, we can figure out how to deal with that. Mr. Meyerson, do you want to address the usage and how these numbers came about?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, Bob Meyerson, Sergeant of Arms and Director of Facility Services, which oversees stationery and duplication. And we took a look at what we had purchased in light of the substantial increase in costs of stationery this year, and we saw most notably this year, as everyone was turning in, there's a substantial amount of stationery that is not used. And understanding that there are some members that do have a desire to have more, such as yourself, and there is an opportunity to purchase more outside. After the initial purchase paid for by the House, members have the opportunity to buy at their own expense, not government expense. And that may be an avenue to do so if there's a need for more. But we saw across the board there was more that, substantially more that was not used than members that were using up their stationery.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so we're clear, and Mr. Meyerson, if you want to weigh in on this, on lines 9 through 13, this is just an example of an order that would be placed by a member as opposed to the obligatory order. So if a member wanted to order more or less of any certain type of stationery, they can certainly do so, so long as it's within the maximum allowed for the member to purchase.
Mr. Meyerson.
Chair, Representative, that is correct. They, there's a base order, and there's no obligation to order that an entire amount, but if they want to, any member wants to order more, they most certainly can.
Mr. Representative Chair, Albright.
And so in the case cited by Representative New, if she wanted to order 5,000 pieces of letterhead but diminish her order for business cards, so long as it was the equivalent, that would be an acceptable order for her.
Mr. Meyerson. Or Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Meyerson.
Representative, I'm not sure. I believe that we can diminish one area and order more of another. But I'm not quite sure, actually, how that would work. Yes.
Ms. Julek, you have to verbalize.
Mr. Chair, I believe the resolution sets the limit per item. I don't know that you can swap. There are different cost prices within each of these, and so I'm not sure that I don't know how this has been operated in the past, and I think we could do some checking on to see how we've done that.
And Mr. Meyerson, what I heard you say is that if you want to exceed this limit, you can do so, but it would be at your own expense, and I suppose without providing campaign finance advice, it could be a non-campaign or an item from your own campaign funds if you wish to do it as an expense of serving in office. But there were, you had the floor, Representative Albright. You want to continue?
Sure. Just we're clear, this is, it sounds like this isn't as much of an a la carte type of option as it hasn't in the past, where we've been able to personalize the order as it went in at the beginning of the biennium. Now it sounds like we're moving more towards a standardization of the order for each member.
Mr. Meyerson or Ms. Julek?
Chair, members, that is correct. There's always been a standard order, and then there's been an a la carte. There's some options that a member could also do to fill out the order.
Hence, we are moving more and more into the digital age.
Representative Drozdowski, did you seek recognition? Pass. Any further discussion? Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess on day one I'm going to pull the lawyer card, but, I mean, the way this is written, it says the cost of, which to me would say that you could choose to not order the note cards, for example, and order more letterhead if that's what you choose. But that's, if this is the way that it's always been written, I mean, that's the way I read this. So just my two cents.
Representative Becker-Finn, I think it does say that, but I think the question is whether the RFP and the contract allow it to do so. Any further discussion on the R4? Seeing none, to the Drozdowski motion. For adoption, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion prevails, and the R4 is adopted.
Mr. Chair?
To the R5, Ms. Jewell.
The R5 is another annual resolution on postage. There is no change from prior allotments. There is a technical change, changing all references of postmaster to sergeant-at-arms.
Any discussion? And I don't see a lot of jumping at it. Is there a motion to approve the R5 resolution? Representative Schultz moves adoption of the R5. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails, and the R5 is adopted. To the R6.
Mr. Chair, members, R6 is another annual resolution. This authorizes members to choose one of two ways to get reimbursed for communications expenses, which include phone line, optional phone services, wireless services, and other related cost. Members have the option to choose a monthly allowance of $125, or they may submit in writing on our form actual reimbursement for actual costs for these items on a monthly basis.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first of all, I want to point members to lines 9 through 11 on the resolution, which allows what these expenses are allowed for. And my experience with this has been that there is, for these services, there is a wide disparity in pricing across the state. Certainly for metro area members, it's going to be very consistent. But for rural members, particularly those in sparsely populated areas, you're going to have a situation where these costs are much higher. And I've had an opportunity to speak with some members on both sides of the aisle, not everyone, but so if anyone in the committee has any objections to this, I will not propose this motion. But, Mr. Chairman, what I would like to see is that for those members who provide the actual receipts for the expenses, that we eliminate the 125 cap. Again, for those who want to come in and say, and they're not providing any receipts, they're going to be limited to that 125. But right now we do have a pretty strong disparity between what's happening with our rural members and those in the urban areas. And again, because I, if there's any objections from members of the committee, I'm not going to make that motion. But that would be my intent, Mr. Chairman, and so there's a discussion among members of the committee.
So, members, I think we'll move to a discussion before we have a motion. And if there's appears to be consensus around the table to do what Representative Garofalo would like, maybe Mr. McCormick could try to draft us something. We'll set this aside and come back to it. But let's have the discussion first. So, discussion to Garof, Representative Drazkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I see this and that proposal is very similar to the lodging situation. Since when does it become government's responsibility to pay, make sure we pay for all of every member's internet services? Members, we have to have internet services anyway at our home. It's just kind of how it is. So the question is, should we require the government to pay all of our internet services if our cost happens to go over $125? Members, this member says no, and the same thing applies to the last discussion of lodging services. If somebody wants to stay at Embassy Suites instead of Motel 6, that's their discussion, their decision, and for that little piece of chocolate on a pillow, it's up to you to pay for the piece of chocolate. I'm fine with that, and the government is really contributing generously to these costs on behalf of members. So I'm in favor of the R6 motion, and Mr. Chair, I'd be willing to offer that motion when you're ready.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, Representative Garofalo.
Again, as I said, I would only do this if there was unanimous agreement on the committee, but perhaps I should make a resolution for members of the legislature to pass minimum standards in arithmetic before making statements in the committee. But I think what we'll do is I will withdraw my proposal so we don't do that. But again, for those members, be aware that for rural members in our state right now, there is a big difference in pricing for these services. It certainly was. There was a time many years ago when things like having data plans on cell phones, being accessible 24/7 for legislators, responding to emails, that was the exception rather than the rule. Through the years, as Representative Albright has noted, as we become more digitized, there's a greater expectation from our constituents that we are always connected, always available, and always responsive to their requests. And under the current process, we are making that more challenging for our rural some of our rural members than in the metro area. And so I thought it'd be a good idea to address it, but perhaps this is something that we can take a look at later in the year or next year, and we could have some examples brought in of the bills that other rural legislators have brought to me to have this addressed. So I won't make that proposal, but Mr. Chairman, I do appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation.
Representative Freiberg?
Pass.
Representative Lilly?
Just a real quick comment to the changing nature that Representative Garofalo speaks of. My phone gives me a report, and it's a little bit embarrassing to say that, and I don't use other technology on this phone. With my readers, I can eliminate the computer and use this, but I use it on average over 3 hours a day, and it's reading articles about, you know, to essentially the nature of our job. I do play a couple minutes of Sudoku, but 99% of it is very much related to this job. So it has changed during my tenure, and I would imagine for everybody here.
So it sounds like there. Well, first of all, then we won't. I don't think need Mr. McCormick to draft an amendment. So I would entertain and adopt, or actually, I think Representative Druskowski, you moved adoption of the R6. And is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R6 is adopted. To the R7.
Mr. Chair, members, the R7 is related to the high school PAGE program operated by the Sergeant at Arms office. There's no change to this. This authorizes a number of members participating in the program, a stipend, and a lodging expense for them.
Okay, any discussion, members? Seeing no discussion, I am looking for a motion on adoption of the R7.
So moved.
Representative Freiberg moves adoption. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the R7 is adopted. Representative Becker Finn, do you seek recognition?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I apologize, and I no longer have it right in front of me, but I wanted to bring us back to the R5. It looks like we missed a year that needs updating on the R5 unless we want to go back in time to take our 800 stamps in January of 18.
So, Representative Becker Finn, I don't think we'll go through the process of reconsidering and reapproving, but we will note for purposes of the record that the date in line 21 needs to be corrected. Okay, we did the R7, I think. Okay, to the R8. This is back to house photography again.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, and maybe Mr. LeGrave could join
Ms.
me
Julek.
Again. So again, this is an annual resolution on allowing for a payment to the photographers of $200,000 per year. We do pay this in quarterly installments. The only change we've made is on line 16. We eliminated the upon request because this is more of a, it's just built into our process, and so that was more of a technical change to align with how we process this.
Discussion to the R8. Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Julek, can you, I'm kind of confused. So we are in the discussion earlier, $2,000 for using their private equipment, and we're moving, and the discussion was distorted around the other motion, as you pointed out, but did we take action to actually buy the equipment on behalf? We haven't done that.
Mr. Chair, no. There is a request to look at our budget for fiscal 2021 to include funding to purchase equipment. If that goes through and is approved, it would replace this need. But that is a standing request that we haven't looked at. We haven't adopted a 2021 budget at this time.
Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Julek.
Seeing no discussion, a motion on the R8.
So moved.
Representative Freiberg moves adoption of the R8. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R8 is adopted. And to the last and best, Representative Ms. Knight, could you come forward, please, and discuss the R9, resolution on alcohol consumption? Ms. Knight, if you could just, I think there is some confusion among legislators. House members who thought that this was already the case, and you're here to tell us that's not the case. So if you could maybe explain to us the R9.
Mr. Chair, members, the R9 resolution makes it clear that the House of Representatives prohibits alcohol consumption in any House-controlled space of the state office building or the state capitol.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, I certainly agree with the position, but I know in the last biennium there was a conversation around the usage of the Rathskeller for purposes of special events where there might be or a request made for the the dispensation of liquor, whether wine or spirits or beer, and I'm just wondering if there's a conflict there, or if that's, this resolves it in some way, or if that's just an open-ended question.
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, Mr. Meyerson might be able to comment on this, but I believe the Ross Scholar is under the purview of admin, so that would not be. This would just pertain to space that's controlled by the house.
Representative Drozdowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do support the motion, but I just have a related question. That is, how is this enforced? What are the consequences for violating it, et cetera?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, for House staff, that would be enforceable, as is any violation of any other rules. For the members, I guess that is less clear to me if a member violates that.
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, the basic way a member is disciplined is through either action by a caucus leader or by a complaint to the Ethics Committee.
Further discussion? Seeing none, who would like to move adoption of the R9? Representative Schultz moves adoption of the R9. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails and the R9 is adopted. Members, that is the end of the official business of the committee. Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, the last item we had was part of a longer memo that was sent out by the Speaker's office with also a interpretation of changes in how certain procedures are going to be done on the House floor. I'm not asking for it today, but are you going to walk us through what that exactly means when we are on the House floor and how the procedures on the House floor are going to change?
Well, Representative Pawlowski, I think the memo is based on it is a determination of the Speaker of how the rules will be enforced, and I suppose the ultimate guide to that is how they are actually enforced on the floor. And as far as the training goes, I think the members of the Rules Committee, I'm sure, will not need the training specifically. How we, you know, broaden that out to the broader group of legislators, I don't have a plan for that right now, but I think the Speaker will be offering reminders from the rostrum on how these, especially the privilege of the House and personal privilege, should be used in the future.
Mr. Chair, that is my point, in that looking at the memo and past actions over the last few years, there is a dramatic difference in how members are going to have to behave on that House floor if the rules are enforced. For instance, standing under a point of personal privilege and announcing there are cookies may not be the appropriate method of using that motion. So my request simply is to walk us through this committee, what it means to have those changes, and what you can and can't do, given, and I support the interpretation, but I'm not sure members understand the totality of what it means.
Representative Pawlowski, if you wish it, we will bring in we could potentially have a role-playing scenario that you could participate in to help us understand this. But some kind of training in the committee as to how these things will be done, I think,
Mr.
would be
Chair,
appropriate.
I'm intrigued by the role playing. I'm more intrigued by the fact that the memo, I think, is clear if it's enforced. I don't think the members understand what that means when they're going to be on the floor and the behavior that this addresses continues. That I'm asking for clarity, Mr. Chair, at least in this committee, and then an understanding that when these are enforced, members are going to have to accept the fact that they can't operate the way they have done in the past, using certain motions. That's, if you want to do role-playing, we could do it. I don't know if we need to go that far. Maybe you could bring in cookies, and we could have a nosh while we do it. But, Mr. Chair, I do think there has to be a walkthrough on this, just as we did with the drinking. I think this is equally important to walk through what that means.
Representative Pawlowski, we will put it on the agenda for an upcoming hearing. Members, the other Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, just an observation that there was a Ways and Means Committee hearing. I understand it's initial and it's being a session that would conflict for a number of our members, and I'm just wondering if there was, if there could be a little better coordination or if there's some explanation for why those committees were held at the same time. So just observation.
Representative Albright, it's the nature of the Rules Committee. It has to meet. It doesn't have a standing committee time, and so the ability to schedule this hearing free of any conflicts from other committees is extremely difficult, short of, you know, 7 a.m. or something like that. And I'm not really all that willing to entertain that idea, but we will seek to minimize the conflicts as much as we can.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And members, the next major item of business before the committee will be adoption of permanent rules, and Representative Pawlowski has a subcommittee that will be considering amendments and changes to the legislative process. So that will be the substantive work ahead for this committee, and more information will be coming soon. And if there's no further business, we are adjourned.